Hey, welcome to The Protectors. This is a great show today. This is something I've been interested in for a while. Now, if you've been following me for a while, if you've been checking my feeds and everything else, you know I kind of like firearms. And one thing I hate is I hate the loud-ass noises because me, prior service, tinnitus, hearing just sucks. But the other thing is trying to figure out how to buy a silencer, how to buy a suppressor, what's involved with it. Excellent guest today. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's just jump right into it. You know, in a pre-interview, I gave you a lot about me. I don't know too much about your backstory. So let's just jump in. How did this all start? How did your business start?
You know, I come from computer programming world. I was a software engineer my whole career. I kind of fell into this industry kind of by accident. My middle son was born 100% deaf in his right ear. And when he got to an age where I started taking hunting, he kind of wanted to get into shooting. You know, we were really thinking safety for that good ear, right? You know, I bought a silencer, but it was a disaster. I almost didn't get it at all after paying for it and waiting however many months. So then I went and bought a second silencer thinking, okay, I'm going to go with an established dealer this time, and had almost the exact same experience. He didn't go out of business, but he wouldn't help me with the paperwork, got error letters, obviously, because I didn't know what I was doing. The whole thing was just a mess. And then I thought, okay, I'm just going to, in my spare time, I'm going to put together some code. I'm going to help people in the local area do transfers. And it blew up into way more than that. I was thinking hobby side business, and it grew into like something big.
Yeah. I was looking at your backs, like just doing a little research, because I don't like to do a ton before the show. But one thing I saw was that, like, you know, it just started out something small, and then it morphed. And yeah. I could see where you're coming from too, is like, as a father, and when you bring in the hearing protection aspect of it, and I could guarantee you a lot of my hearing loss is due to loud exposure to firearms noise. Let's just say sometimes you don't have the earplugs, and even if you do, they're not 100% effective.
And once you lose it, it never comes back. I mean, you have to be careful, and young people do not appreciate that.
Now, and if I could explain what tinnitus is to people, it is like a constant ringing in your ear. It's like when you turn off the sound of everything, all you hear is, and it's horrible. And if I could go back and figure out what caused it, like what the exact sound was and everything, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with firearms.
Yep. That's typical, especially with military background. But even people grow up hunting out in the woods. I mean, there are a lot of things. Guns cause a lot of hearing damage.
Well, think about hunting, you know. I mean, if you're in law enforcement or you're in the military and you know you're going to be on an objective and you know you're going to have to use, you're having to go loud, you may have protection on. But let's say you're out there hunting and you need to hear your prey, you need to hear, and you put hearing protection, you're not going to be able to hear. I mean, right. Yeah, you could put the earmuffs on it, you know, you could turn up the noise and stuff, but are they really 100% effective compared to what a silencer is or a suppressor?
And they're not as enjoyable either. It kind of ruins the experience for me. And going back to my son, I'd put those muffs on him before I had a silencer, sit down in the blind. He's bouncing off the walls, whining about, oh, silent, you know, the muffs. Mm-hmm. The silencer solved that for him, right? And it just made hunting more enjoyable. It does for adults, but it really does for kids.
What's the deal, like, politically or I mean, I know it's like everybody thinks, oh, if you have a silencer, you're gonna be able to kill people silent. Yeah. It's not like that. And you know, we all know, anybody listening to the show probably 100% knows that even if you have a silencer on there, it's not 100% silent. So what is the why we can't get this legislation passed that says, hey, you know what, we need these more for hearing protection than to silently kill your neighbor.
You know, I think it kind of goes back to the 1930s when, you know, they originally got put into the NFA and got regulated with the tax stamp and the weight and all that stuff got added. And as a result of that, nobody had them. So the only information that we have is through Hollywood. So Hollywood has fed us this James Bond narrative that just is absolutely not true at all, right? They are definitely quieter than unsuppressed. They're more enjoyable, but they're not silent.
No, they're not. Not at all. I mean, think about throwing a suppressor or what do we call them? Suppressors or silencers or both?
You know, I alternate. I go back and forth almost randomly.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be the biggest idiot when we're talking about it, but I do the same thing. I'm like, suppressor, silencer, you know. Yeah. But imagine throwing that on a 308 and it's not going to be completely silent. It's the only thing that's going to happen is it's not going to blow your eardrums out.
If you look at the decibels, an AR-15 with a suppressor on it is almost the exact loudness of a jackhammer on concrete. So it's 130 decibels is actually very loud still. I mean, you avoid blowing your eardrums out, but it is still loud.
Yeah. Now, let's get into what I really want to know. Okay, we talked about everybody, you know, law enforcement, military background. I don't know how to buy one. I have no idea. It's tax stamps. You know, do I have to get a trust? I don't know any, the first thing about how to get one. I should, you know, I talk a lot of smack about guns and all this other stuff, but can you walk me through the process? Just act like I am the dumbass that I am. And I want to start and I want to get one. And you know what? I am going to do it.
Okay. Awesome. You know, really, the process is actually simpler than most people think. And when it's all said and done, the hard part, when it's done, comes from this long wait. The long wait gives you kind of the impression that it was difficult. But when you go to buy one, what I typically recommend, choose your silencer, buy it. You do need a serial number before you can start the process. There's a $200 tax that you also have to pay on the front end. Right. All the paperwork, we actually handle all the paperwork. You know, find a dealer with one of our kiosks. There are over 3,000 dealers in our network around the country. Go ahead.
I'm going to stop you right there. So the first thing I do is I go, let's say, I don't really have a shop. I use, I find a shop that sells them, or can I buy them online and have them shipped to any FFL, or do they have to be special?
You can buy them in the store. You have to have a store with a specific license. You can go on our website and find them, or you can buy it directly on our store and we'll take care of you. Select the dealer closest to you.
There we go. That's what I need. I need to go to your store. I need to pick out which one I ever want. And then we're going to figure out what dealer, and on there, can I figure out a dealer local?
Absolutely. There's usually a dealer within a few miles of almost everybody.
Oh, perfect. So boom, I buy it. How do I pay the tax?
You know, we just take the payment as a credit card payment.
Oh, okay.
So we take the $200 into us, which we charge $205 because we have to eat the credit card fee. Yeah. And then we turn around and generate exactly $200 to the ATF. But the benefit of that is it allows us to track when the ATF receives that payment. That's the only reliable way to know. And then we notify the customer. Everybody knows the paperwork's good.
So these kiosks you're talking about, and first, before we get to the kiosks, I could pretty much do everything online through your company.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So I go on there and I say, man, I really like the silencer.
Right.
And I just pay it. And a lot of people don't realize that this sounds like a commercial, but I have my own little store on the side. There are credit card fees. So when you see something, it is not $200 straight to the ATF, pay the fee, and then boom, then the waiting game begins. And then, you know, is there anything else I need to do? Do I need to find a kiosk or do I just... Yeah,
you have to visit a kiosk one time. Once you've been to the kiosk, you never really need to go again. It's kept, everything's on file. The main thing we need from the kiosk is your fingerprints. And then we can use those prints to submit future applications. And it really, really streamlines the process.
Yeah, because if not, I would have to go to like the, you know, local... I'd have to go online and do one of those ident type things where you go find somewhere to get your fingerprints done.
And they have to be printed because they have to be sent to the ATF on paper, which is a kind of a real hassle.
Mm-hmm.
But we take all that out of it. We handle the paperwork. We review it so we know it's right when it goes in. You know, we submit so many applications and our error rate is incredibly low because of all the automated and human checks that we have involved along the way.
Okay.
You don't want to make your wait longer than it needs to be, right?
Yeah, I've heard about like, you know, the horror stories of waiting and then something's wrong and then you got to send a paperwork back and blah, blah, blah.
That's what we're avoiding is we want it to go in. We want it to be right.
And if you're listening to this or watching, you have to understand that I am very excited about this process because I'm like Googling, I'm YouTubing, and I'm trying to figure out, and there's a million different things out there. So step one, figure out what you want to do. Figure out the weapon you want to use it on. Figure out if you have the threaded barrel. Figure out if you need to buy a weapon specifically for that. There's a lot that goes into purchasing the right one for you. But I would like, to me, I'm going to recommend it. I'm going to probably use it on, I do have a 308. I built a badass 308 from Arrow Precision. I want to throw it on there. But then you could also, do you have to buy it for a specific weapon, or once you have it, you can just put it on anything?
Yeah, the main thing that matters is you can put it on anything. What matters is bore size and pressure. Oh, okay. So the bore has to be big enough and it has to be able to handle the pressure. But keep in mind too that the larger the divergence from the bore size to the actual bullet size, the less efficient it will be, right? So yes, you kind of do want to get it close. I'm not a fan of the, you know, giant caliber silencers that fit everything because people tend not to be happy with them.
I like that. You know, that's the other thing you don't really think about when you're just like, okay, I want to get one. And you don't think about like the ballistics and the pressure and everything else behind them, few per second, all the other good stuff. So do your research for the weapon you want to do it. Buy it. Do your paperwork. Visit a kiosk. It's really that simple.
That's pretty much it. We handle everything else. Once you've got all this, all your information in the system, it's just a matter of buying them and we submit the paperwork. Once you've been through that kiosk.
Very cool. Well, I'm ready. Let's do it. I would say share my screen and we'll go through it now, but I think we'll wait on that one. I think I'll do a how-to video later on as I go through it. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. When did your company start and when did you first see the really big boom?
You know, we started in 2010, and I'll have to say the very first month, we actually were on vacation with our neighbors. I expected it to go live and nobody would even see it. And I think we did $19,000 the first month. Wow. And I was shocked, right? I thought, this is awesome. First two or three months, it was growing, you know, 50% a month. And I thought, okay, now there's no way we have it capped out here, right? There's no way we'll get bigger. But it kept growing and it still is. It's exploding in growth.
Yeah, you're going to have one more customer here. And I keep saying to everybody, this sounds like a commercial, but you know, I was showing your team before, like my studio, I have some weapons here and there and, you know, not all of them fell off a boat, like everybody always says, but I want to, and that's the thing is like, I brought my son out to the range, indoor range, and it's like, he hated it because everybody in there, you know, I have a 300 blackout and it's like a pistol. I have a AR-15, which is like a pistol. And when you throw a muzzle brake on the end of them, they sound like it's a howitzer going off. And as someone that used to be artillery when I was a kid, it's loud as crap. And he's 12, my daughter's 10, and they're like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But if I had a suppressor and we're out in the field, I mean, you're still going to use, I'd still use hearing protection. You know?
Yeah.
But the thing is,
recoil, I mean, it's the whole thing. For new shooters especially, they are fantastic. Yeah.
To get out there and just shoot in a field and not have to worry about, and for anybody out there going, oh, well, they need to suck it up. I'm like, really? You want them to enjoy it? You want them to like say, hey, this is a cool sport? Because people don't realize like, it's not all about hunting and law enforcement and military. It's a sport, man. Yeah. It is a badass sport. And I look at weapons as like art, you know, and I know it's kind of cheesy, but it, like certain, you could tell when someone has a cheap ass, you know, Tech 9 type gun that just sucks and compared to like just something that's sweet, man. And I know you said you came from an IT, but I'm sure you could understand the artwork. And I don't care if you're a military veteran, protector or whatever. If you're into firearms, they do become art.
Oh yeah. It's a hobby. And people just don't get that, right? Whenever the question comes up, well, why would you need that? I don't know. Why would you need a new golf club, right?
Why do you need Callaway golf clubs? You don't need that. I mean, but truthfully it is. There is nothing like putting a round down range and seeing it go into that 10 ring.
Yeah.
And the closer you get to the center, you're just like, wow, I did that. You know,
it's addictive.
I love it.
And you know, when kids are, or when anybody is first learning, you talk about, and I've been hunting with people who wanted to start their 8-year-old kid with a 300 Win Mag because they'd learn how to be a man, right?
Yeah.
But it's a, but that's the worst thing you could do to a kid, because they learn to flinch, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they may feel like they're manning up, but it makes them a worse shooter. Less recoil is better.
Yes, learning absolutely.
Fear control, all that.
Now, does a suppressor deal with recoil?
It does. Putting a suppressor on your firearm is about equivalent as the highest end muzzle brake you can put on it, right? They're very, very effective. And there's also a reduction in the perceived recoil, because a lot of the perceived recoil comes from the sound.
Okay.
So it's kind of a double.
There we go. Cause you know, and I'm thinking about it, and everybody, I'm treating this interview almost like you're the youngest private in a platoon. You got to treat everything towards them, cause I want everybody out there to learn about the recoil just as much as I want to learn, but purchasing recoil and everything else like that. So yeah, that's perfect, because I'm thinking I put a muzzle brake on my firearms. It does reduce the recoil because of the pressure and everything. Yeah, so.
Yeah, everybody else at the range hates you, but it does reduce recoil.
Pretty much. I'm that guy, you know. They're like, here's this guy again with his 300 blackout with the big-ass muzzle brake on it with an 8.5-inch barrel pistol. And you're like, oh, gosh. So where do we find you guys? I mean, we're talking about like, hey, you know what? I'm new to the game. Where do I find you?
You know, silencershop.com, that is the place to go if you want to buy a silencer.
Perfect.
And then going there, you can, you know, if you want to go in person, we've got a dealer network around the country, but the website is the place to start.
Perfect. Anything else you got going on you want to tell the audience about?
You know, I mean, I think you pretty well covered it. I think really what we focus on really is making the buying experience simple, making the paperwork process absolutely dead simple, but then also having it, you know, the ownership experience you want also to be easy, right? Thinking of registration methods and stuff. So it's we try to simplify the entire ownership experience from beginning to end.